recordar el bosquejo del libro de jueces, perdón, de Josué, sigo diciendo jueces. El libro de Josué, hemos contemplado la vocación de Rahab, la cual encontramos en versículo número 1, su vocación. También hemos contemplado su fe, la cual contemplamos dos aspectos de su fe, que es una fe viviente. Y vamos a añadir una vez más, una cosa más, no solo es una fe viviente, es una fe salvífica y una fe justificadora. Ella fue justificada por la fe, al igual que el patriarca Abraham. Y también hemos considerado en versículos 8 al versículo número 11 su confesión. Ay, amigos, hermanos, estaba meditando en este pasaje una vez más esta tarde, la confesión que hizo Rahab, basado en tres evidencias. Una vez más, el temor que vio ella en los habitantes, en los moradores de Jericó, y también lo que oyó ella, lo que hizo Jehová al secar las aguas del Mar Rojo. Y número 11, dice, esta es su confesión. Dice, y pienso yo, amigos, que cuando llegan los hebreos a Jericó, Rahab, amigos, ya es creyente, ya es creyente. Se le quedó el nombre de ramera, pero ya es creyente Rahab, porque confiesa ella, una vez más, Jehová trajo a estos dos, ellos no trajeron el Evangelio ya había llegado a Jericó, pero en versículo 11 dice, porque Jehová vuestro Dios es Dios arriba en los cielos y abajo en la tierra. Ese es nuestro Dios, su confesión. Esta tarde vamos a contemplar de versículo 12 en adelante, vamos a ver su petición. ¿Qué es lo que pide ella? Basado en eso también, vamos a ver cómo ellos requieren algo de ella. Requieren algo de ella. Ponen unas estipulaciones, amigos, en su petición. Y lo vamos a encontrar en versículo 17 al versículo número 20. Hay dos estipulaciones. Hay dos condiciones con la cual ella será librada. Y vamos a añadir la tercera. Y en versículo 21 al 24 encontramos su obediencia. Su obediencia. Okay. So now, we've been looking at Rahab. This morning we spoke about Rahab and her faith. And her faith. These two events go hand in hand. That is the falling of the walls of Jericho and her faith. Because the writer of Hebrews puts them together. Through Rahab, again, we see her saving faith. And we're at Joshua chapter 2. And we divided thus this morning. In verse number 1, we see her vocation. What was her vocation? Now, I say what was, because I believe that by the time the spies come into the land, they come to, you know, spy out the land, two spies secretly, I believe she's already a believer. And why do I know that? Because they didn't bring the gospel. There's no record here in Joshua chapter 2 that they brought the gospel. It's what she had heard. She had heard. And what she confesses in verse number 11, he says, because the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She has saving faith. She has a living faith. And I say this because remember what we looked at this morning. And according to the book of James chapter 2 and verse number 25, her faith was a living faith. It was alive. It was a justifying faith, a saving faith, and a living faith. And because of her faith, says the Scripture, she perished not with them. Again, notice her lively faith. How is that manifested? She hid the spies. Not only did she hide the spies, but persuaded those that persecuted the spies that they had gone elsewhere. And then she requests something from them. In verses, we find her confession. And there's three evidences for her confession. Look at what she confesses. And again, this we pointed out this morning because You know, those that came out of Egypt, those that saw the sea parted, those that experienced miracles, many miracles, the manna in the desert, the quail's meat, the serpents, the rock that brought forth water. I mean, and name the things that God showed them in the desert, the voice that they heard, but yet they did not believe. They were an unbelieving piece of their unbelief. They had no faith. All these miracles that God hath done, and yet they had no faith in the living God. We find in Joshua is the generation that they said, we're going to die at the hands of the enemies. And God's going to prove them differently. But notice how she hears. All she does is hear. She didn't see Red Sea being parted. She didn't, again, see the Amorite, the king of the Amorites. He didn't see the Og. He didn't see Sion. Confession. I've heard what your God has done. That's all she heard. People around her. Verse number 9, she says, I know that the Lord had given, because that was the promise that God gave them. Remember that? God gave them that promise. And they refused to believe that promise according to Numbers and according to would not believe God. Yet she does. She believes God has given them the land. Why? Because the terror is falling upon us well closed up. As a matter of fact, when the men that pursue the spies go out, they shut up the doors. Why? Well, maybe two reasons. One, to in case they're still in there, to keep them there, or in case they've gone out to prevent people from coming back in. Tonight, we're going to look at her request. What does she request? What is her request? Verse 12, versículo 12. Now, therefore I pray you, swear unto me by... You see her speech declares that indeed she knows. She says, swear unto me by the Lord, by Yahweh, by that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and token. That's her request. Now, what has she heard? And I think we find the clues here in verse number 10. What happened to Sion? Man, the Israelites to do. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I love it. It's our responsibility. I love what he says in another place. Study to show not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He gave us a mind. God gave us an intellect. God gave us a soul. Well, Jesus said it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. To meditate on His statutes. We need to remember these stories. When she mentions Sion and Nog, what God, in verse number 12, to be shown kindness unto her. Two. Notice what Moses wrote to them. When the Lord thy God shall bring this before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations thy God shall deliver them before thee. Thou shalt smite them with them, nor show mercy unto them. Mercy to any Canaanite. Thus, if you follow with me, y versículo número 21 por 621, he says, and they utterly destroyed. This sounds hard. Some people raise questions. He says, both man and woman with the edge of the sword. God told him to do that. This should be saved. So you see the reason for her request. She said, I have shown you mercy. Show mercy unto me. These two kings that are mentioned, of chapter 2, Deuteronomy 2, por favor, encontramos la clave por la cual ella pide, una vez más, que tengan misericordia, que muestren misericordia para ella. dos reyes, a Og y a Basán. He mentions two kings. She mentions two kings. I said, we heard. Now, how long ago is this? It's a long time ago. Number 30. But Zion, versículo 30, Deuteronomio 2:30. But Zion, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit into thine hand, as appeareth this day. Verse 32. Then Zion came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all this, his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men, the women, and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. So that is hard. Is that the God of the Scriptures? Some would question that. Some would question, is that the God of the Scriptures? Deuteronomy 3. In Deuteronomy 3, he mentions Bashan. And I'm just going to quote verse number 3, Deuteronomy 3 and verse 3, Deuteronomio 3, versículo 3, dice, so the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. You see that? He smote all of them. Verse 6, we utterly destroyed them as we did unto Zion, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, children of every city. Is that the God of the Scriptures? She's heard. And she knows her doom. She knows, beloved, that unless God shows mercy, she would not be spared. Or her household. See, our generation, the generation of nowadays, emphasize God's love. And God is a God of love. I want you to know tonight, God is a God of love. He is. He is. But He's also a God of judgment. Some would question God's righteousness. And Paul foresees this question. Is God unrighteous? When you read these scriptures, beloved, whether Deuteronomy or Joshua, is God unrighteous? That's a good question. Because God foresees, why would God smite women, children, book of Genesis chapter 15. Not that they were not sinners then, but again, I want you to see another instance before I... But in 1 Samuel 15, please. 1 Samuel 15, we'll read two verses there, 2 and 3. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Utterly destroyed all that they have. Spare them not. Slay both man and woman, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Smite them. Paul and the Holy Spirit, that you and I would question this. It's the greatest question in our day and time. The question is not why should he only smite them, That's the question. Jesus put it this way. When he spoke about the Galileans whose sacrifices Pilate mingled, their blood he mingled with their sacrifices. He says, suppose ye that they were sinners above all sinners? I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Before grace reached down and saved us, they were not. Elevate yourself thinking that you're better or were better than the Amalekites or the Canaanites, the Perizzites or Rahab. You and I were not better and are not better. The only difference is, beloved, is grace. He in love reached us. He in love, beloved, changed our wicked heart. They were no different. But the question arises in our day because they don't understand our God. God's wrath is just. God's wrath is just. Their sin had reached heavens. And they were to be destroyed. Remember God said that once? If you go back and read in Genesis, God destroyed this earth by flood again. But God knew, and He writes for us in the book of Genesis, every thought, every imagination, dear sinner friend, you and I, because of our sin. I want you to understand. That's what Paul says. God on the stand, and let us judge God according to what He has done. In Genesis, in Deuteronomy, in Joshua, let us judge God, says Paul. I told you, we need to defend God. Things like that. In the third chapter to the Romans, notice what he says. You know what God said? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. What we get, beloved, because of our sin, is what we deserve justly. Would you admit that? Would you admit that, like the thief on the cross, that what I get is, you know that? That's what I deserve. Quote, "He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. But he that believeth not on the Son is condemned already. And the wrath of God abideth on him." The wrath of God, dear sinner friend, is already on you. It's already upon you from entering the pit of hell tonight. That's all it is. Paul anticipates this question. Let us put God on the stand. Let's question God. And like our modern day so-called Christians, question God. That's what He does. I can't answer everything. I can't, with half a brain, I don't know why, I don't have not God. I don't know why that's what Asaph says. I don't know why the wicked prosper. I don't know why the righteous suffer. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not God. But I know that everything that God does is right. I know that. Amen. Everything that He does is right. Amen. You might question, well, why does God, allow perhaps this innocent people to be killed? I don't know. I don't know. It's His divine will. But it's right. Here we have those instances. Verse 3. And again, I made mention. Well, shall we read this morning? Vamos a leer capítulo 3, Juan, del versículo 1 al versículo 5 de Romanos 3. Porque esta mañana lo mencioné, de qué ventaja o qué es la ventaja que tiene el judío, que tenía el judío sobre Rahab.
What advantage did they have over Rahab? What advantage did they have over the Ethiopian that saved Jeremiah from the well? Over the Hittite, What advantage did they have? Paul says, or what profit is there of circumcision? He says, much every way. Which is the advantage that they had and which she did not have? She did. They didn't. She didn't. None of them did. Committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. See, he is foreseeing. David foresees God being judged. David says, you know what? I'm God. God, whatever you say is right. I was shapen in iniquity and sin. My mother conceived me against me. But if our unrighteousness commend the unrighteousness of God, and I love the Spanish, si nuestra injusticia hace resaltar la justicia de Dios, what shall we say then? Is God unrighteous? Taketh vengeance. ¿Es Dios injusto? ¿Que da castigo? He says, and by that he means without understanding, without intelligence, without wisdom, foolish reasoning. God forbid, verse 6. For then, God judge the world. Judges. Again, you can see why he said that, right? Time would fail me. Time will fail me to tell. So she's heard before and what God can do. And she has one request. Joshua number 2, verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, una sola petición. Josué 2, versículo 12. Swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. That you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. She knows what's coming. And the man answered, our life for yours. If you utter not, we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. And again, I mentioned this last week, Brother Reuben. It's amazing that those walls came tumbling down the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there 3 days. Until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may you go your way. But here, they make two stipulations. Remember, they don't know her. They don't know if she's truthful. They don't know her. And the Amorites and all these Canaanites are known to lie. That's the reason the verses before, whose mouth is full of lies, full of cursing. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their throats is an open sepulcher. So they just want to make sure about this, because they have sworn by him that liveth forever. Verse 17. Here's the stipulations. The men said unto her, of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. 2. Here's the stipulation. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, are outside her house, they will perish with the rest. If they abide in the house where the scarlet thread is, you shall live, but they'll be slain. We want to make sure that we're clear on this, because verse shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. House, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. That's the first stipulation. They all have to be in her house under the scarlet thread. Second, if she says it, if she declares what they're doing there, verse number 20, and if that, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. Family has to be inside the house. And this is her obedience. According unto your words, so be it. It's here. She bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, there's about 40,000 men of war. 40,000 men that are going to war. They encompass the city, as we learn, 7 times. On the 7th day, they blow the trumpets, the walls come tumbling down. And we find what happens here in Joshua chapter 6. Judgment comes. Judgment comes upon the Amorites. And you would think, right, you're outside that wall. God told the Israelites, when they put that blood upon their doorposts, upon their... You have to be inside the house. Same here. You have to be inside to be kept alive. 16, I'll begin there. He says in Josué 6, 16, and it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua shout, for the Lord had given you the city. And the city, you see that? They are accursed to the Lord. But notice here. Joshua honors their word. I wonder who these two men were. Men like these men. They don't need to be mentioned by name. But Joshua, you made a covenant with an harlot to preserve her. Notice, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even live. The others were disobedient. When those trumpets began to sound, they ridiculed the trumpets. They ridiculed the carriers of the ark. They ridiculed the manner in which they surrounded the city. Those walls came tumbling down. And there's only one woman. Look what it says, verse 17. And this is what the writer of Hebrews brings to us. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So the question is, all these men of war, beloved, how do I identify in my seal? I may kill an innocent person in my seal. I may smite one of the family of Rahab's. Well, there's an identification. There's a way that you can identify her house. Verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Man, woman, young and old, ox and sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua commissions those two men. You see that? Those two same men. That spied out the country. He said, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, as you swear unto her. By her faith, she was saved and her household. That's faith. She trusted in the living God. She believed the living God. You see that? Go, tells Joshua. Verse 23, the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They're outside the camp. Separated. Verse 24. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But notice he continues, verse 25. And Joshua saved. What a phrase. You see that? You know what the name Joshua is translated as? How is it translated in the New Testament scriptures? Do you, anyone know? Ryan? Jesus. The writer of Hebrews does that. Jesus. Beloved, He's the only one that can save. An harlot like Rahab, or a sinner like me. He's the only one. Joshua is a picture of our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. You know that? Joshua has faults. Joshua has many faults. If you go look further out, beloved, you're going to see some things that, you know, he commits. Immediately after that, you see some mistakes that they make. He's just a man. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what he says. Verse 25, you can preach out of this text alone. Notice what he says. Oh, beloved, it's so rich. Because not only was she saved, Joshua 6:25, he says, Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And notice this phrase, this little phrase right here. You see that, verse 25? Notice what she says. Notice what it says about her. And she dwelleth. Right? She dwelleth. She abides. You see that? She stayed there. She stayed with the people of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I mean, whoever wrote Joshua, when he wrote Joshua, remember, he's writing this story. He says, she's still living amongst us unto this day. That's amazing. That's grace for you. That's grace. That is grace. Go back to your people. Go back to your gods. No.
Your God is my God, and your people are my people. You know? And God blessed her. I do truly believe, beloved, as we read in the book of Matthew this morning. Let's go there, please. Matthew chapter 1. I believe God blessed her. You know, why would God leave an example of this woman for us? You know, and some of you have shared with me, I wish I had the faith of Moses. I wish I did too. I wish I did. I wish I had Abraham's faith. I wish I had Abel's faith. I wish I had. But you do. You do. It's the faith of God's elect. You do. But what I mean is, you see, you know, the miracles that Moses did, right? I mean, you said, well, I wish I had his faith. I wish I had Abraham's faith to, you know, to leave my land of nativity. I wish I had Jacob's faith. I wish I had Joseph's faith. I wish I had, you know, Sarai's faith. I wish I had these great men's faith or these women. I wish I had their faith. And God says, you know, I'm going to throw you an example of someone that you and I can identify more closely to. A sinner saved by grace named Rahab. I'll give you someone whose faith you can imitate. And her faith is not different than all these patriarchs. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put her before David, before Samuel, before Samson. I'm going to put it right there for you. So you can see there is no difference. I can identify with Rahab. I can identify with her. Matthew, I believe the Lord, again, honors her. It was through her. She was an instrument for the conquering of Jericho. God could have done it any other way. God could have done it any other way. But in Matthew chapter 1, the Lord says this way, verse number 5, Salmon begat Boaz, or Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz or Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. You see that? Who is this? This is the book of the generations of our Savior Jesus Christ. It pleased God to put her, beloved, in this blessed place. You know, anywhere you read about our Savior, anywhere you read about faith, you're going to hear about this woman, Rahab. The scarlet thread, I believe, represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight we're celebrating the Lord's table. Does the blood save you? Yes, it does. Does the blood keep you? Yes, it does. As Peter says, we were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, from our vain conversations which we received from our fathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish. You know that? Who was before ordained and have appeared in these last days for you. God sees the blood. God sees the blood. When God sees the blood, beloved, He passes over us. That judgment that they suffered, we deserve, excuse me. Because they're none's righteous, no, not one. And God would not be unrighteous to eliminate us all. You know that? He would not be unrighteous. But I think what he says again in John, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that? That's why he gave his Son. Yeah, you see God's judgment, you see God's provision. This is it. The scarlet thread. Corinthians chapter 11, please. Corintios 11. Vamos a celebrar.